Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and we're reading today from a book that I put together many years ago, 2002, called The Last Message of Daniel. That was in chapters 10 to 12 of the book of Daniel. We did a lot of the introductory work last time. I do suggest that you find that audio, and so you'll be up to where we are. But we're going to the text right now, to the text itself, Daniel 10, 11, and 12. Chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the message was true, but the appointed time was long. And he understood the message, and he had understanding of the vision. Well, Daniel's about 91 years of age here, not far from the supposed age of the Apostle John, while he was on the island of Patmos, receiving the book of Revelation. Cyrus, the assistant of God in the reestablishing of Israel as a nation in their own land, Cyrus now rules the empire. We'll have more to say on him presently. Daniel is called Belteshazzar, which means may Bel protect his life. He's called that only by the Babylonians. He's simply being re-identified here as the one favored by the sovereigns on earth through the sovereignty of God in heaven. Notice that from the beginning, Daniel makes it clear that he's speaking of a time far from him, though the prophecy will actually begin in his own day. Verse 1 seems to be a summary of all which we will now read. Eventually, Daniel does indeed understand what he needs to understand, but the price of his understanding is mourning, fasting, and seeking the truth with all of his heart. He thus becomes a model for those of us in this hour who would understand the revelation given to the Church of Jesus. Daniel is a joy to watch throughout the book in this regard. His determination to keep on praying regardless of the king's edict, chapter 6. The changing of his countenance indicating a struggle within to know what God is saying, chapter 7. In a similar vein, sickness and fainting in chapter 8. His searching the scripture and finding fulfilled prophecy in his day, chapter 9. His confession of his and Israel's sins, followed by God's affirmation of his love for Daniel, and a clear response to his searching, also in chapter 9. What a man this Daniel was. Now we shall see more agony, but more ecstasy too, for the man of God. Chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So here begins the process of the unfolding of history, a man before his God, wanting to know the truth. Chapter 10, verse 12 confirms that Daniel has this as his motivation as he humbles himself before God. As when he had lived on the basics as a young man in Babylon so many years ago, so now he puts away everything but the very necessities of life so that he can wait upon God without distraction. Verse 4. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris. Now he gives here a very specific time and place to let you know that what is about to happen was no dream, but the reality of heaven touching earth. And now verses 5 and 6. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, Ezekiel sees a man clothed in linen. That's Ezekiel 9:2. And John, before his revelations begin, likewise sees such a man, one girded about the chest with a golden band, eyes like a flame of fire, feet like fine brass, voice as the sound of many waters. That's in Revelation 1. The one in Revelation identifies himself as the first and the last, the one who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. John saw Jesus, the eternal Word of God, the glorified, heaven-dwelling Son of the living God, the one who was in the beginning with God and is God, and I believe Daniel saw him too. Knowing that God himself has introduced this message puts immeasurable weight on it and importance to it. Suddenly, it's not a mere history lesson, but something vital that our Lord Jesus wants us to know and act upon. It is a message of equal importance to that given the great apostle, and we need to listen and understand. As to the Gold of Uphaz, the place named is unknown in history, and yet, in the Garden of Eden, which encompassed the Tigris River Valley, there was a land that specialized in quality gold, Genesis 2:12. Maybe this heavenly visitor has lately been to the garden himself. Verses 7 and 8, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. And therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength." Incredible that that which blesses one curses another. The sun that melts also hardens. The visionary is alone in a crowd. He sees what they cannot see, and what they must brand as fanaticism. Messengers of God through all time must bear this loneliness, at least for a while, another cost for the truth. Now verses 9 and 10, "Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. And then suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands." Well, now we must make a choice. Was it Jesus or Gabriel who spoke and who speaks the rest of this prophecy? Or like in Revelation, is there a combination of messengers? The word to John was the revelation of Jesus Christ, but sent by his angel. Nevertheless, we see Jesus talking a lot in the book, and especially so right after his appearing to John. Does that pattern hold true here? Is the hand that touches Daniel the very hand of God? We're told twice that Daniel hears the words of the first messenger, if indeed there are two. Are those words simply not recorded? Or are those words the rest of chapters 10, 11, and 12? On the other hand, why might this be Gabriel? Well, Gabriel is mentioned as the messenger of the 70 weeks prophecy in the chapter before. It's stated there that Daniel had seen this man earlier. And the context, especially of chapter 10, points to a sent being rather than a sender. Well, let verse 10 then be the transition. And let's follow the comments carefully. Chapter 10, verse 11. "He said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling." Yes, it is possible that the Father sent the Son here, but it seems more likely that the Son sent this angel. And the angel's first task is to get Daniel to stand up. Daniel has just seen Jesus in all of his glory. Well, having accomplished this, then he said to me in verse 12, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." Notice here how the messenger shows that he is distinct from the Godhead. He says, "Your God, and I have come." And how beautiful also to see that those who meekly approach the King of Kings will be accepted by him and lifted up. Verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." Well, here's where we begin to turn away altogether from the idea that the God Almighty is the speaker. This rare insight into spiritual warfare, described in detail by Paul later, also shows us how Christ has entrusted angels to the fight for now. We know that when he enters the fray, one little word will stop the plans of Satan forever. We see here that kingdoms and peoples are assigned a prince, both by the enemy and by the Lord. That angelic force assigned to Persia, and perhaps still in that part of the world today, is in conflict here with not only Gabriel, but the servant of the Jewish people, Michael. It seems interesting to me also that the kings, plural, of Persia are here mentioned. Is this a reference to the succession of Persian kings we will see dealt with in the next chapter? Or is this the present setup with Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Persian in a co-regent situation, since both men are mentioned in these two chapters? Verse 14, "Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come." Well, your people is the Jews, but also included, as we shall see, is all the people of God. Daniel's people would certainly not include apostate Jews, but would encircle those like us Gentiles who have been grafted into the nation of Israel. Another specific is the when, and once more we are told that the ultimate fulfillment is not for a long time, in the latter days. Chapter 12 makes it plain that this use of latter is not at all generic, but refers to the very end of all things. Only for this reason would the Son of God himself appear to introduce the matter. Verse 15, "When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless." Note now that it is the content of the speech, not the speaker so much, that has overwhelmed David. Though he remains standing, now his head is turned to the ground. He cannot think of any way to respond to the heavenly messenger. Verses 16 and 17. "Suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, 'My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. How can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me.'" Three times this human-like person is addressed as Lord. The translators use a lowercase L, and I'll follow them, but the temptation is strong to think of this as the direct intercession of Christ himself, touching and strengthening his man. But his man is strengthened only to the point of being able to air his weakness. Before, he could not even do that. Daniel, 91 years old, is totally drained of every human reserve, and thus in a perfect state of mind to receive the pure word of God. Let those who cheaply broadcast their personal messages understand the price of true revelation. In verses 18 and 19, "Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, 'O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong.' Yes, be strong. And so, when he spoke to me, I was strengthened, and I said, 'Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me.'" Now, has the person changed again, or is all of this still Gabriel? Soon the text will point clearly to the angel, but during these changes in attitude and strength, we must wait for further understanding, I do anyway, to know exactly who it was that Daniel encountered. Notice this additional affirmation of Daniel's status in heaven. He is loved. What higher ranking could anyone who is an earthling desire? What throne, what office, what title could more bless a man of God than this simple one, beloved? Which happens to be what John means. The word John means beloved. Well, Daniel is finally ready. And the next time we come together with this text, we'll go to chapter 10 again, verses 20. 10:20 to 12:4 really is the whole message. We'll start in 10:20 at that time. The message now begins as we come back together. Thank you so much for being with me this time. I do encourage you to look around you at the website and see if there might be something else that would be a blessing to you, and that you will again come back and be with me again as we continue this series. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.